CSN International presents To Every Man an Answer, the live apologetics program that equips you to give a reason for the hope that lies within you.
If you have a Bible question or a question on the Christian faith, you can call us at 1-888-827-5276. Again, that's 1-888-ASK-CSN.
Let's get things started. Here's today's host, Mike Kessler.
Glad you've joined us. Looking forward to being with you for about the next hour as we set this time aside every weekday afternoon. And so we just once again want to encourage you to give us a call, 888-ASK-CSN. You can be part of the program today. You know, this Sunday at the River Christian Fellowship, Twin Falls, Idaho, I'm going to be speaking about God's great comfort that he has for us. You know, we live in some very crazy times right now, globally, nationally, personally. Hey, listen, God's got great comfort for you. Jesus said in John 14:1, he said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." We're going to talk more about that great comfort that comes from God. Everybody needs comfort. If you're not a Christian, you might be turning to sudden comfort for your help. You might be turning to a bong. You might be turning to indulgences, something to escape. Well, listen, God's got a place for you to escape in him and to move us from the temporary into the eternal. In my Father's house are many mansions. Good news for a world that's dying. Hey, so I just want to encourage you, if you're able to attend in person, starts at 10 o'clock. If you are listening by radio, it'll be 10:30 Mountain Time throughout the United States and the world on the internet. Joining me today, special guest, featured CSN speaker, Morning Times here, chosen, we have with us Daryl Skinner from Calvary Chapel, Pearl Harbor, Hawaii. Aloha.
Aloha, Mike, and aloha to all the listeners out there. Great to be with you once again on this Thursday. Always looking forward to the great questions on To Every Man an Answer. And it's just so thrilling. I was just listening to you talk about your studies on Sunday mornings, what God is doing in and through the ministry over there and through your preaching. I just like to encourage you, Mike, just keep up the good work. Let the word of God do its effect on God's people, strengthening them in the faith and guiding them in soul winning and blessing their hearts. And of course, that's what you guys do day by day here To Every Man an Answer and on CSN Radio. You know, it's such a blessing to be a part of this, this great network, Christian Satellite Network, and see what God is doing through the radio and touching so many lives. And we get calls here and people visiting here from all over the country. They come to Hawaii and they want to stop by and say aloha or hi to us, you know. We say aloha, they say hi. And we just have great fellowship in the spirit. So there's a great work going on, my friends out there, and keep supporting CSN. Mike did not ask me to say that, by the way, but I just want to encourage you, keep supporting CSN because it just keeps expanding. What are we, over 405 stations then? I think there's the Edge music stations too, and so many great things are happening. So what a blessing it is to be a part of God's work on this network, Mike. Thank you so much.
Yeah, if you'd like to tune into some tasty Christian rock and roll, both old and new, Effect Radio, EFFECT Radio, EffectRadio.com. Hit audio live streaming and look for a station close to you. We got about 60-some stations that are hooked onto the Effect Radio network. And again, the target of this is so that if you're in a work, you know, a work scenario and you want to have some radio playing, the message is in the music. And so we just want to encourage you, check that out. I think you might like it. Again, effectradio.com. If you're the younger set too and you like some good headbanging, well, we got that there for you too. And so check that out. I know you'll enjoy it. Again, 8888. Ask CSN's the number to call. When you hear somebody hang up, call right then. The line will be open. You can jump on. We have Paul on the line, Longview, Washington. Hi and welcome.
Hello, sir.
Yes.
I have a question regarding Bible prophecy. I was at a friend's house the other day. We don't have TV at our house. It's a waste of time. But they had TV on, and some fella came on the air who sounded like he wanted to be a clone of Herbert W. Armstrong, okay? And what he was saying was, the Bible somehow predicts that Germany will be part of the beast power, if I've got this right. And they and the Vatican are going to gang up. The Vatican's going to be the the church that uses the Germany and the military, the European military, to rule the world for 3.5 years. And I don't know how I would find that in the Bible, because I don't think Germany is mentioned by name, but there might be old names. But I'm interested in pursuing that question.
Well, we do know, the Bible tells us that in Nebuchadnezzar's dream, he saw a great image. It had a head of gold, which is the Babylonian Empire, the shoulders of silver, the Medo-Persian Empire, the stomach of brass, the Grecian Empire, legs of iron, the Roman Empire, and then the feet were a mixture of iron and clay. So many people believe that really the one world order will be centralized in the borders, basically, of the old Roman Empire, which then would include Germany and probably Italy as well. Now, the Bible has a lot to say about the city that sits on seven hills. Again, that it's a problem. Your thoughts, Daryl?
Yeah, you know, when we look to the revived Roman Empire, you just go back in history and you'll see the Roman Empire included Germany as well as all of Europe, and then down into all the way down into Egypt and so forth. But as we look to this revived Roman Empire, it says iron mixed with clay, which Mike so aptly quoted from Daniel, and that clay is the rest of the world. It doesn't really adhere together very well, because there'll be various divisions amongst the world in regards to this leadership that comes out of the EU. We call it the European Union today, but it is truly the revived Roman Empire. And now the question is, how is it that the EU will have so much power? What has happened to America? I believe what has happened to America is the rapture. The rapture is taking place, and many Christians are found in America, will be gone. And across the world, many people are going to be gone, right? So there's going to be global chaos. And so the what's left of probably some Republicans and Democratic Party will be left, liberals and others, and they'll be left here in America. And they've always wanted to join with the EU. They've always wanted to be this one world socialistic elite group of people ruling the world. And that will truly take place. But there will be one who will rise up. He's going to be known as a great world leader. He's going to be known as, to us, the Antichrist. But to the world, he'll be known as a Christ, a holy one. One is chosen by God, or God himself has visited us. He is the Maitreya. He is the Mahdi. He's all religions combined in one as a great world leader. He'll be very charismatic, and they will establish Jerusalem as an international religious city, which right now the Vatican, along with the rest of the world, they want Jerusalem to be an international religious city. So all religions will be represented from Jerusalem. This is why it upset the world community so much when President Donald Trump, in his first term as president here in the United States, decided to move the capital or rather the ambassadorship of America from the embassy from Tel Aviv down there to Jerusalem, because Israel's saying that Jerusalem is their capital city. And thus it upset everybody, because it's going against the grain of the international community that wants to make it an international religious city, so all religions would be represented. And so this is where the Antichrist was set up. He'll go into the temple that's going to be rebuilt in the 7 years of tribulation, the first 3.5 years. He will then commit the abomination that makes desolate. He'll blaspheme the God of Israel, blaspheme the Lord Jesus Christ, and then he'll institute the mark of the beast halfway through that 7 years of tribulation. So all this is working together from the European Union standpoint with the global elites. They meet in Davos, Switzerland, year after year, with the corporations and with government heads and so forth. And they're trying to establish this one world, redirect this regrouping of the world to be under their leadership. And Donald Trump, through God's grace, has interrupted the process once again in his second term. Mike?
Yeah, we were absolutely headed for bankruptcy in the United States. $37 trillion in debt, I think that's about what we are right now. Unsustainable, and it's either this. Now, remember the lie that was being circulated during the Biden administration, something we have to remember, you can look this up, that in 3 years you will own nothing and be happy. Well, how's that going to happen? How are we all going to own nothing and be happy? Well, this is what they had planned, I believe. They were going to let America go into bankruptcy. Then our nation then becomes foreclosed on, all of our belongings, houses, cars, you know, businesses, all become the states, the new communist America. And then they will redistribute the wealth. They will, not you, they will. And this is what I believe they had planned, because they knew they were overthrowing America. Again, you cannot have that kind of illegal immigration. Oh, we don't know how to fix it. We have no way. Oh, we need a congressional thing. Trump fixed it in less than 2 months. What is going on here? The border now is the lowest illegal crossing that they've had for like 40, 50 years. So when I look at this, I realize the American news media has duped the American people. They are very, very bad at reporting facts. They tell you just enough facts to bring you down the wrong trail. They don't tell the truth. And so we have to be aware of it, Paul. And I think that, again, I believe that when we talk about a one world order, America is still in the way. And I don't know why we don't find America clearly identified in the Bible. In the last day scenario, what happens to America? Maybe it's wiped out by a bunch of natural disasters like a San Andreas earthquake. Yellowstone then goes off. Some volcanoes in Washington and Oregon go off. Maybe America is blanketed by heavy ash. We're not in the picture. Maybe there's a giant revival in America and people turn to Christ and the rapture comes and America is really not an issue. Maybe we get surprise nuked by Putin and who knows, the Chinese united together against the United States. Very possible. Maybe we break into a civil war. And the more I watch the news of late, I got to say that that is not an unreasonable scenario. When I watch the liberal lunatics firebombing, Tesla's dealerships. You know, it was disgraceful. The American news media, you want to know how disgraceful they are? You'll read all about how they're all firebombing and, oh, their eyes are gleaming as Elon Musk's businesses burn. Not a single really much of anything said about how his company rescued the astronauts in outer space. And then we have this crazy loon astronaut that said, oh, there was a spacecraft up there all along. They could have came home anytime they wanted to. You know, that is just a bald-faced lie. But the American news media covered it. So why don't they give credit where credit's due? Thank you, Elon, for bringing these guys back. He offered it to Biden. Biden didn't want to give Elon any credibility. So he just left him up there to die. Oh, I'll tell you, you wonder what's going on, don't you? Paul, I hope that helps. Oh, and by the way, so very quickly, I don't know who you listen to because I've seen some people get a few things right and then they go way off and Jesus isn't Lord and all kinds of other crazy things. So you got to be careful. But I do believe that the Vatican, all their gold, their influence, I think, is part of the one world order, definitely part of the one world religion. I believe that the old Roman Empire, which, you can look on a map, it'll show you, which includes Germany, will be included in that. Very, very possible that this is part of an end time scenario. Well, again, where's America? Maybe we're just not here. Maybe it's just an ash pile. Like I say, maybe we get surprise nuke from China and Russia. Maybe it is volcanoes blowing. I don't know. But I just know that we're not a formidable impact in the end time picture. Daryl, you were going to say.
Yeah, one last thing. I wanted to mention this gentleman that runs that Davos meeting there in Switzerland once a year with all the major corporations and many people that are leaders of foreign countries. They gather together and they're plotting to have what's called the Great Reset, if you heard about that. That was one of the plans through Biden that was to take place. And of course, Democrats were supposed to win in this election cycle, and they were going towards this. The Great Reset would be fulfilled in 2030. That is their goal. Now the goal's been all messed up because of Trump is now elected and so forth, and he is really cutting through all the bureaucratic corruption that is taking place in our country and the financial boondoggles and fraud and waste and everything else. So that's is really thrown things off. But I know God's hand is in this.
Yeah.
God knows when this is supposed to take place, and if it's premature, God is going to hold it off. And we will continue to serve the Lord. Righteousness exalts a nation. And right now we need to pray that our government, our president, will make good, righteous decisions according to God's ways, in his love and his grace, and yet in his standards of righteousness for justice for all. So very important that this takes place. But this gentleman, Klaus Schwab, who's in charge of this Davos meeting, the Great Reset, he is from Germany. He's a German citizen. So for that aspect, if you will, being connected with the Vatican as well as the revived Roman Empire, the European Union, we saw all these things lining themselves up. When that time is coming, we don't know, but God only knows. The Antichrist will not be revealed until the rapture of the church. That's what the Bible says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. So very important stuff there. Mike?
Yeah, we're not looking for the Antichrist. We're looking for Jesus Christ.
Amen.
So I hope that answers it for you.
That does. Well, like a friend of mine, a German friend of mine, said to me, kind of half-joking, he says, would you believe in a fourth Reich? Oh, that's too scary, man. Yeah. No. Mm-hmm.
Well, stay on the line. Yeah. We'll send you out some books, some DVDs, Paul. I think you'll really enjoy them. Great to share with your friends. Let's go to Eric, Southern California. Hi, welcome.
Palmdale.
Palmdale. Okay, how can we help?
You can do the one near the CVS pharmacy or the one off Mall Boulevard right by Best Buy.
What was the question?
Hello, Eric.
I'm here. Oh, I'm here. Yeah. I just got distracted and got away from my phone. My question is this. With our national debt being over $36 trillion and the financial collapse, would that lead to a one world monetary system, one world currency mentioned in Revelation 13?
I believe it can. And certainly when you have this much debt, and had we not got in and started cutting, they had no intention of stop this ridiculous spending. None whatsoever. And Musk said, if we don't get this under control, our nation will go bankrupt. That means we lose everything. And so I believe that it's probably headed that way. We may have a reprieve, and I believe this is why the Bible says when you're tuned in, work for the night's coming when no one can work. What you can do today for the kingdom of God, you may not be able to do in 5 years. Do it now. Be about your Father's business. Do a good job for him, because I don't know how much longer this is going to go. But when America goes broke, I believe the whole world's going to go broke. There was an old saying, when America sneezes, the whole world catches the flu. And that's true. And I believe then that will pave the way for a one world monetary system. And again, they take everything everybody's has, typical communism, Marxism, that'll be global. And they will control everything. How else do you think you won't be able to buy or sell without a mark, name, or number on your hand or in your forehead in Revelation chapter 13? Now, think about that for a minute. If we all still had individual property and, you know, well, I'll trade you this bicycle for, you know, a can of beans, or, you know, I got some old silver American quarters, I'll trade you. No, the Bible says it appears they're going to own everything. And I believe this, in 3 years, you will own nothing and be happy. Right out of Karl Marx's writings. I mean, and this is what's being sold to America. No wonder America rejected it so vehemently in the last election. So I think we need to be aware of where we're at. But I do absolutely believe that a bankrupt America is going to topple the entire financial world right now. Since whether anybody wants to admit it globally, it's still the American dollar is still the standard of the world. I know they're trying to get off of it, you know, Bitcoin and all this other stuff, you know, that they're trying to go to, but it's still the dollar. And when the dollar goes, I believe this is going to create havoc everywhere. And again, out of the ashes, the new beautiful communistic world will emerge with a guy named Antichrist to rule it over it all. So we got some things ahead. Any last thoughts?
You know, it's interesting as we look to the world today and the financial ability to shut everything down, the ability from the computer standpoint, the internet and so on, to shut all economies down, the world banking system down, to control everything. It's we're truly living in the last days. And the word of God is so sure. It's a foundation for our life. And it tells us the past, the present, and the future. And it spoke of the future and all of its technologies, all of its knowledge, all of its power. And it's revealing itself today that the Bible is absolutely true. From a prophetic standpoint, the Bible says the spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus Christ, that God wrote the book. He tells us the future. He knows all things. And you know what else is interesting, Mike? We just had a guest speaker out at our church on Sunday morning, Wes Bentley of Far Reaching Ministries. He's got missionaries worked across the entire world, from Russia to Ukraine to South America, all over Africa and so forth. And he was learning and studying about quantum computers. And he says, you know, when it looks to our supercomputers that we have today, and you begin to use them in the algorithms and so forth, he says they can do things that, as you look to these algorithms, it'll take them several years to figure out. But now with this new thing coming out, quantum computers, it could do that in 4 minutes, just take its 4 minutes. So he says the Bitcoin and all this crypto coins and so forth, it's going to be difficult because with a quantum computer, they're going to break through all their barriers and so forth so quickly if this all comes together and the Bitcoin and all these things are unable to withstand it. So we're heading to a time of great control in the future through the Antichrist, as they'll use these computer systems to control the entire world and every single bank account. Mike, I'll give it back to you.
Yeah, it's amazing how they can track every one of us just through where we spend our money, what we buy, all those things. Scary stuff, but again, Jesus said, when you begin to see these things happen, look up. Your redemption draws nigh. I think that's some good news. Hope that helps, Amen. Eric.
It sure does. I remember Trump was saying that he wants to pay off the national debt. If that's the case, how is he going to do it?
Well, the number one thing we have to do is we have to stop spending recklessly, which is Biden spent more money in his 4 years, I forget, than how many presidents previous combined. I mean, just reckless spending. This Inflation Reduction Act, when you look at all the pork barrel that was in it, talk about Doge needed there. I mean, it was crazy time. But they're just spending money recklessly. And that's what triggered inflation. The more dollars that you print that you have nothing to back it up, the more it devalues the dollars that are out there. That's what the problem is. And people are going, well, we don't approve of the way Trump's doing things. What's he been in office? 2 months trying to clean up a train wreck of over 4 years. So when you really look at this, you realize that, you know, well, he's just going to wave a magic wand. No, it doesn't happen like that anywhere at any time. But there are certain things you can do. Number one, stop the ridiculous spending, you know, for gay ice capades in Europe. Why are we doing that? All this free money. Crazy. So, Eric, yep. Stop the crazy spending, and then the money that we do spend on, make sure we're getting a full bang for the buck rather than lining all these people's pockets. Eric, stay online. We'll send you out some books, some DVDs. I think that'll be great. If you need more, just let me know. Let's go to Bob, Roswell, New Mexico.
Thank you, pastors, for taking my comment. I love Jesus, and I hate my sin. Yesterday, you used a word that's very, very prominent in today's church. It's called compromise. Yep. I thought about that yesterday, last night, and today, and this is what I have to say. We must remember first century Christians went into cities that were hostile to the message of the gospel.
Absolutely.
Just read the book of Acts. Christians were beheaded, put in jail, suffered beatings, and were flayed That's where the skin is cut off you while you're alive. They suffered beatings, yet they said, praise God, we're found worthy to suffer shame for his name. They did not sugarcoat or dumb down the message.
Nope.
The gospel is still the power of God unto salvation. They did not go into towns and ask godless people, what would you like us to preach? Paul started a riot with his preaching one day. Friends that are in listening to you, please ask yourself, are you willing to die to yourself and your comfort? Jesus told a crowd of people one day, and he listed their favorite people. If you don't hate mother, father, sister, brother, husband, wife, children, if you don't hate your own life, you can't be my disciple. Count the cost or don't come at all. Today's evangelifish church wants to be liked, to have a good reputation in the community,
hey,
or even love.
And you know, Bob, it's all nickels and noses. You know, well, you know, if we stand up and really stand for something, oh, that might offend half the congregation. And yeah, we got to pay for this big edifice, so we're going to go into bankrupt. You know, we're going to go into bankruptcy. Well, that's crazy stuff. You see, I believe part of what spawned that was one of the speakers on CSN yesterday afternoon said, culture is judging the Bible, but real Christianity, the Bible judges the culture. And just because culture says certain things are okay, doesn't mean in God's eyes they are. But since nobody's taught God's word anymore, who's to say you're right or I'm right? Truth is relative. Well, when you study God's word, you realize God said what he means and means what he said. So stay in line. We're coming up on a break. We'll have a whole lot more right after this. We'll be right back.
How do we change a nation? One heart at a time. The Ministry of Preborn shares heartbeats and hearts by loving women in crisis and leading them to Christ. When this mother came to a Preborn Network clinic, she was scared and not sure if she could afford another child.
It was just a scary time for us, having my daughter, how that would impact our lives. When I came here, it was just so amazing to come to an environment where someone would actually pray for me and guide me through my battles that I was facing during that time.
After receiving love, support, and the gospel of Jesus Christ, this mom chose life for her daughter. To learn more about Preborn's life-saving work, call #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250, baby, or visit preborn.com/CSN. That's preborn.com/CSN. All gifts are tax deductible.
Let's see, if something costs less, a lot less, but people are actually happier with it, that sounds like something to look into. And that's MediShare. Maybe you've heard joining MediShare can save you or your family up to $500 a month, and that's huge, but it's also true. People are just happier with it. They love being part of something that reflects and promotes their values and what they believe in. MediShare works, too. It's been around for 30 years now, and members have shared more than $7 billion of each other's bills. People love having telehealth and a huge nationwide PPO network, so yeah, really, you can save a ton and like it better. Imagine being happy with how you're taking care of your health care. Whether you're self-employed or part of the gig economy, or you just want a plan that you're happy with, here you go. You can call right now and get a price within 2 minutes. A very, very smart use of 2 minutes. Here's the number you need. It's 855-91-BIBLE. That's 855-91-BIBLE. 855-91-BIBLE.
Back to part two of Every Man an Answer here on this Thursday afternoon with Daryl Skinner from Calvary Chapel, Pearl Harbor, Hawaii. I'm your host, Mike Kessler, and we're going to go back to the phones. We have Kenny on the line in Indiana. Hi, and welcome.
So,
hi, Kenny.
Before I start, I want to ask you guys a question. I don't mean to offend anybody. Are either you guys preachers or teachers?
I pastor a church here in Twin Falls, Idaho, for the last almost 44 years. And Daryl, you've been there for, gosh, what, a couple of decades at least.
Yeah, I've been a pastor for about 45 years also.
So
well, how can we help you out, my friend?
Well, I don't mean to offend by any means, but it really upset me that this man comes on the phone and says he hates his son and nobody corrected him. I mean, where's charity in this thing?
Well, I'm sorry, what was that?
What? He hates his son.
This guy comes up. Yeah, that's what that last guy said. He said, I love Jesus and I hate my son.
I didn't hear that.
No. He said, I hate my sin.
He said,
I love Jesus and I hate my sin.
No,
he's talking about hate my father, my mother, so much. Jesus used the terminology, so you've got to make Jesus number one in your life. And that's what he said. He said, you got to hate your father and your mother. It's not you're going to, you know, go against them like you're going to destroy them. But he says, in other words, your love for them cannot be greater than your love for me. I'm the God who created you. I'm the Son of God who died for you. And you've got to make me number one in your life. That's because it is most important, because without him, we would have no mother or father or brother or sister or anybody else. And he was quoting Jesus on what he said.
Yeah, and Jesus is the one that said that. And he's not saying that we hate them. It's that if something is more important in your life than putting God first, well, you know, I'd be a Christian, but, you know, my wife, she doesn't really like this kind of stuff. So, you know, I just don't go. You can't be a follower of Christ. You've got to be willing to leave all to follow God. So I'm sorry about the mix-up on that, Kenny. Did you have a question?
My fault. That was my fault. But my question is, there was a sermon at our church 2 weeks ago, and he was preaching against predestination in a very aggressive way. And from what I understand, there's at least four places in Galatians, Ephesians, and I forget where else that it speaks of predestination and election and so forth. Which is the case?
Well, anything you read about predestination or election is based upon God's omnipotence, him knowing all things. God does not learn. He goes, no. He loves me, but he's going to make a bad mistake. Oh, God says, I don't believe he did that. That's not God. God knows the end from the beginning. We find that in Revelation chapter 1, Revelation chapter 22. He's Alpha and Omega, beginning and the end, first and last. He lives in all times present. So God cannot learn. So from God's perspective, yeah, we are predestined because he knows the ones that ultimately chose him and those that didn't. When the Bible says that make your calling and your election sure, that has to do with my will, your will. Now, just because God has the videotape, if you will, of our life in advance doesn't stop any of us from making the decisions that we make. The Bible says, Jacob I loved, Esau I've hated. Well, how could he say that? Well, Jacob was predestined to go to heaven. No, it's that God knew the decisions that Esau would make, that his birthright and that godly line of him leading the family in godly ways didn't mean any more to him than a mess of pottage. That's what it's talking about. But because here's the reason why we know that it's not predestined the way the Calvinists try to make it sound. Because the Bible says in John 3:16, for God so loved the world. It does not say the predestinated ones. Then it reinforces it. Whosoever would believe in him would not perish. It does not say, and the predestinated ones who believe in him. It does not say that. So we have to understand that anything speaking of the future is from God's perspective. Anything from our perspective, whosoever will may come. That's why the great commission that Jesus Christ gave to the church, go preach the gospel to every creature. He did not say, go preach the gospel to the predestinated ones. And in fact, the whole idea of predestination really skews evangelism. Hey, well, if they're predestined to get saved, they're going to figure it out and we don't have to do it. I know churches in our town that believe this. They don't even have altar calls in their church. I think it would be terrible to not give people an opportunity to receive Christ. And if you go back to Acts chapter 2, when the Holy Spirit fell on everybody, they cried out, "What must we do to be saved?" You see, they gave, Peter gave an altar call at the end of the Acts chapter 2 outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Literally 3,000 or so was saved. Thousands were saved. We don't know how many total, but it mentions thousands were saved. So as I understand this, predestination is always from God's perspective. Otherwise, God is then learning who makes it and who doesn't. And that's not what the Bible teaches. He knows all things present. I don't know anything like that. Everything I know in this life has a date attached to it. Birth date, death date. May 20th on a gallon of milk. License plate registrations, the year of your car, the founding of America, 1776. Everything has dates to it. God lives in a time where there is no dates and is no times. Your thoughts?
Yeah, you know, it is interesting that, as you just said, Mike, for God so loved the world, the opportunity for salvation is for all people. Otherwise, God would not be just. God is a fair God. He's an equal God. All salvation is in the deepest jungles of the Amazon and the Congo to, you know, New York City, L.A., whatever. He's in all places at all times. They don't worship God, must worship in spirit and truth. It is interesting that in Romans 8:29-30, it says, "For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his son." God knows who's going to be saved, and he also knows that we're going to be conformed to his son. So the moment you become born again, it's the Holy Spirit's job to conform you to the life of Jesus Christ. For Jesus has told us, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me." You become born again of the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is now leading you into all truth. He's testifying of Jesus Christ in you and through you, in your actions, in your speech, as a witness to the world. And then also he's going to produce fruit, the fruit of love, joy, peace, meekness, temperance, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, which is the life of Christ and the heart of God and the character of God. So this predestination is once we become born again, we are predestined to be conformed to be like his son. Yes, absolutely. We come into the family of God, the kingdom of God, and we're going to be transformed by the power and working of the Holy Spirit through the word of God, which is Jesus Christ. In the beginning was the word was with God, the word was God. So you see this transformation that will take place. We're no longer conformed to this world, but we're transformed by the renewing of our mind, by the power of Jesus Christ. And of course, Paul the Apostle saw this great struggle between the flesh and the spirit in Romans chapter 7. You get to chapter 8, and he says, "But thanks be to Jesus Christ, who has conquered all things for us, who's changed us and his power. And it's because now we are in the kingdom of God. We're predestined to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ." So I hope that helps out, my friend. And Lord bless you. Good question out there. And Mike, I'll hand it back to
Kenny,
you.
Yeah, Kenny, I hope that answers it.
Well, I want to ask one more question on top of that, because he also says he makes one vessel for honor and one for dishonor. Speaking of people, it almost seems like I struggle with this, because there's four things in there that say it is predestination. He's got another thing that says he does make people for honor and dishonor. And I can't find any other verses that talk against that. Now, the verses you all use don't talk against it. You're just making, you know, an interpretation of
John 3:16 is absolute. "For God so loved the world." It does not say the predestinated ones. That whosoever would believe in him, that blows the wheels off of predestination. If it's whosoever believes in him would not perish, but have everlasting life, then it is not predestination. It's a matter of choice. And that is, John 3:16 is in fact, a lot of those that are in that say, "Well, Jesus didn't say that, so we can discount it." No. You don't change God's word to fit kooky doctrine. And so it's very clear concerning that. Now, again, because God knows who will be a vessel of honor and those that will be a vessel of dishonor, that's, again, I think that falls into the category of God's omnipotent ability to know the future. Any last thoughts on that, Daryl?
Yeah, you know, we read in the scripture, it says God is not willing that any would perish, but all would come to repentance. So the opportunity is across the boards for everybody, every human being. But as God has made everybody, he also knows that there will be those who choose to live without him, to reject him to the point of death. They are the vessels of dishonor. And yet there's going to be those that will choose his son, Jesus, as the sacrifice for their sins. Look, if it's the Old Testament, they're looking for the Messiah to come and save them. For us, we look to the Messiah that came, and he has saved us, right? So, and this is what we find. Now, we are now vessels of honor because we've come to faith in Jesus Christ. We receive the message of God. Everyone has that free choice, that free will that's been given to them. Adam and Eve exercised it in the Garden of Eden, and then they ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and thus they took the gift of God, which was planet Earth, they handed it over to Satan. Satan's been the god of this world ever since, and yet God in his loving grace and kindness is trying to pull us out of this Satan's image, this Satan's world, and bring us into the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, through his son Jesus Christ by paying the ultimate price, of which he showed us the ultimate love of all time, which is that he himself, God himself, would be sacrificed for our sins so that we could be saved. That is perfect love, which God manifested for the whole world to know and to understand. And that's why we have this choice. And that's why you have vessels of dishonor and vessels of honor, because God knows there'll be those that choose him and those that reject him. The vessels of dishonor will find themselves in hell, in the lake of fire forever and ever, judged for their sins and the rejection of Jesus Christ. Mike, I'll give it back to you.
Kenny, hope that helps.
Is there any reason why, or is there any other instance in the Bible where it's like this, where it says it in so many places and the actual original language means what it says, that it is in this context? It's almost like, why would God say something that doesn't make any sense? Because that makes no sense. If it's the, you know, why would you teach in several places there is predestination and pre-election and so forth?
No, that's from God's perspective, not from man's perspective. Predestination is always from God's perspective. God knows who makes it and who doesn't. I can't fault God because people make the wrong decisions and end up in hell. But God knows who's going to choose him and who isn't. It isn't that we're teaching that people can be predestined and not. No, we're not saying that. We're saying God knows the ones who make it. Therefore, it's predestination. But that doesn't stop any individual today from making the decisions. Otherwise, throw the Bible out because the sky's the limit. God didn't die for the whole world. And he didn't, and it isn't whosoever will may come. Never mind Revelation where the Bible says, and the Spirit and the bride says to everybody, come. See, this is the problem. But you can't put God as if he's learning who makes it and who doesn't. And so this is why, from God's perspective, he knows ultimately who does and who doesn't. That's why the Bible says he sees us seated with him in heavenly places. That's speaking of us. But I don't see myself that way today. But God already does, because in God's world, I'm already there. And someday the rest of me is going to catch up and be there. Daryl, once again, any last thoughts?
I do have a last thought. Thank you, Mike. Is this, if everybody was predestinated, why send your son to die a bloody death on the cross? If everybody's predestinated, why is it in the book of Acts you see all these martyrs and throughout all of church history? Why are they preaching the gospel to the point of death if everybody's predestinated? It makes absolutely no sense. Because you know what? Just, hey, you're going to make it to heaven no matter what. Just forget about it, you know? You don't need to worry about it because you're going to go to heaven. Because God has predestined you. It's locked and loaded. No, that's not how it works. But as Mike just shared, God knows who's going to get there. That's where he has this foreknowledge. But for us, the availability for salvation is the same for every individual born on planet Earth across the entire world. No matter what influences they have, no matter what culture they grew up in, no matter what religions are captivating their nation, whatever it is, God is speaking to all people at all times. The law of God's been written in every human heart. The Holy Spirit is across the whole world, convicting every human being of righteousness, of judgment, and of sin. And this is his job. This is what he does. And he's been doing it from the very beginning of mankind to where we're at today, and he'll continue to do it. until we find ourselves all in glory in the new heavens and new earth and the new Jerusalem. So hopefully that helps you out, my friend. Mike?
Amen. So, Kenny, yeah, that's about all we can say, you know, because, again, if John 3:16 is true, whosoever would believe in him would not perish. Predestination is impossible from man's perspective. From God's perspective, I agree 100%. From man's perspective, it's impossible. Thus, Jesus gave the Great Commission to preach the gospel to every creature. And just as you said, Daryl, they risked their lives and became martyrs doing it. Kenny, hope that helps. And
do we lose him?
Yep, maybe. Stay online. We'll send you out some books, some DVDs. Call back if we got disconnected there. And again, God bless you. Thanks for the call. Something I think we all have to be reminded of, why we're all still here. Hey, listen, if people are just going to figure it out, why do I have to go through this zoo called living and let my life shine?
Why go and preach the gospel?
Why do anything? Yeah. I just kind of a funny thing. So, God bless you. Thanks so much for the call. Let's go to Gilbert in El Paso, Texas. Hi, welcome.
Hello. My question is I heard Pastor John Randall.
Yes.
Speaking about the rapture and that it can come at any moment, which I was aware of, but he also mentioned that there's no prophecy that needs to be fulfilled for that to happen anymore. So my question was, what was the beginning of the church age and what was that last prophecy that initiated the church age?
Well, I believe that, again, Jesus spoke very clearly about, I believe, the age we're in right now. And we go to Luke chapter 21. And in Luke chapter 21, Jesus said some interesting things about the last days. And he said this, Jerusalem will be trodden down by the Gentiles till the time of the Gentiles is fulfilled. Jerusalem is no longer under Gentile control. It's under Jewish control and been completely under Jewish control since the Six-Day War in 1967. They got half the city in 1948. They got the other half of the city, including the Temple Mount, in 1967. So I believe one of the signs that could have been is that as we do this rap, now again, God is never without a witness. We right now are the evangelists to the world. That's what we as Christians are. Go preach the gospel to every creature is our last caller. Help us bring out. I believe that's so important. But God's not done with the nation of Israel yet. And the Bible tells us that he's going to deal with his nation of Israel one last final week found in Daniel chapter 9 as the 70 weeks were determined upon the nation of Israel. A week then was 7 years. Daniel was heartbroken over his nation, being carried away captive to Babylon. And God, what will ever become of us? All these promises you made to Abraham seem to all be lost. And God then comforted him and said 77-year periods have been determined upon the nation of Israel. And in the 69th year, or the 69th seven-week period, Messiah will be cut off. 183,880 days later, Jesus made his triumphant entry into the city of Jerusalem. There on Palm Sunday, it was their day of salvation, and they rejected him. Curiously, that the clock stopped. And so God is not done with Israel yet, though. God turned to the Gentiles, and thus we find all the Gentiles coming in, as the book of Acts tells us, through the power of the Holy Spirit. But something important that we have to remember is that God is never without a witness. And so during that tribulation period of time, you have the 144,000 Jews from the 12 tribes of Israel, the Bible says, are servants to God during that time. So I believe that really, as we look at this, now, again, understanding that people were looking for the rapture of the church back in Paul's day. So I think it is... I think the Lord could come back at any time, but I don't believe there's any more prophecies speaking of the church that would be fulfilled before the Lord would come back. In other words, if the Lord would have came back, let's say in 1900, let's just say, Israel wouldn't have been a nation. Jerusalem would not be the capital of Israel. You'd find a lot of things that would be missing right now. Your thoughts, Daryl?
Yeah, you know, that parable of the fig tree, it's in Luke as well as Matthew. Jesus tells us to learn it, learn the parable of the fig tree. And the fig tree is represented in Hosea 9, I think it's 9:10. Yes, I checked my notes here. Hosea 9:10 speaks of Israel as a fig tree. It's a symbolism of Israel. Also, Jeremiah 24 speaks of Israel as a fig tree. Jesus cursed the fig tree. Why did he curse it? Because there was no fruit on that fig tree. And what he's saying is they were not turning to him as the Messiah, which was prophesied throughout the Holy Scriptures from Genesis to Malachi. They would not turn to him, and thus he cursed the fig tree. There's no fruit. And he also warns them. He says, hey, there's going to be great destruction upon Jerusalem, upon Israel, as you reject me. And it's going to take place. He's going to die on the cross. He's going to resurrect from the grave. He's going to walk the earth for 40 days. And then comes 70 AD, the great Roman general Titus comes in and destroys the city where Jesus said, not one stone be left upon another of the temple in the city itself. And all that took place. And then they were dispersed amongst the Roman Empire. The whole nation of Israel was dispersed. And they come back as a nation once again, which we learned the parable of the fig tree. When it comes alive again, know that I'm coming soon within that generation. And that alive again, as Mike shared, was May 14th, 1948. So Israel's a nation, 1967, they get Jerusalem. And all this is coming together right before our very eyes. Daniel tells us knowledge is going to increase. We may look at computer knowledge and all the technical knowledge that we have, but I believe it's also Bible knowledge, learning the scriptures and letting the scriptures unfold before our very eyes. God told Daniel to seal up the book because it wasn't for his time as he wrote his prophecies. But now we can unseal the book and realize those prophecies are for today. Ezekiel 36 and 37 says that these bones will come together and this flesh will go under the bones, the muscle and the flesh, and it'll come alive again. It's speaking of the nation of Israel coming alive again, Ezekiel 36 and 37. Thus we see it, and it says very specifically, all this is going to take place in the latter days, which is the last days, these days, before the great coming, the second coming of the Christ, the Messiah, Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus, our Messiah. So these are exciting days we're living in, and we could literally say, is there anything else to be fulfilled? Well, there could be tidbits here and there, but the main crux of everything has culminated, and any day now, could happen right now, could be the rapture of the church. Let's be ready to go, because we're saved, we're born again in Jesus Christ. Mike?
Yeah, now, and the other part of this, too, I think is very important, is that the Bible clearly says we're the bride of Christ and we're not appointed to his wrath. We know the tribulation period is God's wrath. We know that. And I believe that global judgment is coming very, very fast. In fact, again, you don't even have to have God in the equation. Go to your internet, type in atomic doomsday clock, and they'll show it at like 2 seconds before midnight. So if you even take God out of the picture, even the world knows we're far spent. Now, again, the rapture, again, God taking his church out of the world, I think is important because we're on the very crust of a global judgment. And we can see it right now. America, $37 trillion in debt, wars all over the world. We got real problems. Underdeveloped North Korea, 30th poorest country on earth, has nuclear weapons now. Well, what's that going to do? Iran quickly developing their nuclear weapons. What's that going to do? The hard up for cash, rubles for Russia, selling suitcase bombs on the black market. What about that? And all of a sudden we realize this world that has had, yeah, its major share of problems down through the history of ages is now on the very verge of total annihilation. So I believe this is why we know that everything that has to happen and the rapture has not yet come will come before that great judgment comes upon the whole world. That's what I believe as well, Gilbert, and I hope that helps.
Yes, sir. Amen to that. I believe that. Thank you very much, and aloha, mahalo, oi. Thank you.
Yeah. Amen.
God bless you, my friend.
Mahalo. And we are out of time. Gosh, I wanted to get to Angel, Randy, and John, but John, Randy, Angel, please call us back. And Angel, real quick, I'm going to answer this for you because I just see part of it. Mark 9:1, Jesus said, some of you standing here will not die till you see the Son of Man coming in his glory. Verses 2 and 3 explain that as the disciples watch Jesus as he was transfigured before him in his full radiance, the way he will be in heaven. So if you just read Mark 9:2 and 9:3 will answer that question. But you're welcome to call in tomorrow as well as the rest. And until then, may the Lord keep you in his love. Thanks, Daryl, for being
Thank
on.
You.
Always
God
a
bless.
Blessing to be with you. And as we say often, keep looking up. Our redemption draws nigh. God bless you and good night.
To find out more about this ministry or to receive a copy of today's program, please call 1-800-357-4226 or write us to Every Man an Answer, P.O. Box 391, Twin Falls, Idaho, 83303. That toll-free number is 1-800-357-4226. Subscribe to the free podcast on iTunes by searching for To Every Man an Answer in the iTunes store or visit us online at csnradio.com/TEMA. To Every Man an Answer is a production of CSN International, the Christian Satellite Network. The opinions expressed by our guests may or may not be those of CSN International or of this station.